going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Chris and Amy show on 104.1 FM KMOX. Amy Markscores, Chris Ranji. We go back to the guest line for hour two. And the president has signed an executive order today that he says will bring down prescription drug prices between 30 and 80%, which would be great. I think a lot of people would agree if it does work that way. In the end, Maya Goldman is the healthcare reporter for Axios and joins us now on KMOX. Maya, appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me. Great to be here.
All right. So he signed the order. Other than just the basics of what I said, you know, between 30 and 80%, he said it will bring down prescription prices for people. What do we know about this deal?
So the Trump administration wants to set targets for drug price reductions for drugs across all payers. So Medicare, Medicaid, commercial market is my understanding. So they're going to basically kick off a negotiation process between the government and industry. And if the talks don't yield enough progress, HHS would then implement, basically require drug companies to peg their prices to lower prices paid by other countries for the same drug, which is known as the most favored nation policy. So I think there are still a lot, I still have a lot of questions about how exactly this would work and what authorities the administration wants to use, but that's the gist.
Just to clarify too, because we talked about the negotiation with the drug companies, right now, drug prices are negotiated, but they're negotiated through our medical system, insurance companies, and this would be moving those negotiations from the market to the U.S. government. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, yeah.
Okay. And then with the negotiations, is it, all right, we're going to try to work this out, and if we can't, we're going to price fixing. Is that an accurate statement?
That is also my understanding, yes. And I think one important thing to note about what the president said today about this announcement is that he also wants to use the administration, the federal government, to bring down the prices that foreign governments charge drug makers for drugs. So it's as much about sticking it to the EU as it is about sticking it to drug makers for high prices, which I think is really interesting. There could potentially be some upside here for pharmaceutical companies if that part of it comes through.
So what is the mechanism by which they can force drug companies to lower prices or the EU to do the same?
That's a great question, and I do not know the answer to that yet. It's not clear to me immediately, but just from what we've seen so far today. And I think, you know, whatever mechanism they do say that they can use, it's pretty much guaranteed that there will be lawsuits over this. The drug makers, I'm sure, are not going to be happy.
Is the mechanism potentially just leverage in the sense that, hey, we're a highly medicated country. We are a massive country. You don't want to lose us? Or, yeah, I mean, I can see that, but the go ahead.
I was just going to say, they want to work with the Justice Department and the Federal Trade Commission to stop anti-competitive actions that keep prices high in the United States, is what they've said today, and then work with the United States Trade Representative and the Commerce Department to do trade actions to lower prices charged abroad. But it's not clear to me exactly what that means. And this is all separate, the administration said today, this is all separate from tariffs that are looming on pharmaceuticals. So that could also still happen, and that can be separate and, you know, further impact drug prices.
One of the reasons that it is less expensive in other parts of the world is that governments will negotiate drug prices on behalf of the entire country, as opposed to the fractured system that we have here. So this is in any way kind of like that? Is that what they plan to be doing? The government is going to negotiate prices for everybody?
That's what it sounds like to me.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
Is this plan different? I'm not sure if you've looked at Senator Bernie Sanders, right? And he's talked a lot about the cost of pharmaceuticals. Is this plan different from some of the other more command and control models that Bernie Sanders has discussed in the past?
Yeah, it's a great question. I haven't had a chance yet to directly compare, but this is an idea that has been talked about across with Democrats have talked about this before. President Biden, during his administration, said that he wanted to negotiate prices across payers, I believe, and to bring down costs in the commercial market. I think, and then obviously the Congress passed during the Biden administration a plan to negotiate Medicare prices, which is currently underway. So I think that this is something that has appeal on the left, but I think the proof is in the pudding, right? The devil's in the details, whatever the idiom is there. I think how this plays out will be a big question mark.
But has there been, at least from opponents of the president, has there been any support whatsoever on this today?
Not that I've seen so far, but I've also had my head down writing a little bit, so sure. I haven't totally seen. But yeah, definitely something I'm watching for this afternoon.
Okay, so the negotiations, as you say, do start this afternoon. Is there a timeline at all that we're expecting to see something come out of this?
They said negotiations they're going to start immediately setting targets for lower prices. That's as far as I've seen on timing. There's something that says within 30 days, HHS will communicate the price targets to pharmaceutical manufacturers, and within 180 days, if the drug companies don't deliver, then they'll start setting prices. So that, you know, a couple months at least, but these things are all sort of fungible and adjustable.
Maya Goldman, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Maya is a healthcare reporter for Axios and joins us on KMOX. As I said earlier, I'm all about the end game on this. So if he is able to successfully lower prescription drug prices, which are 3 times higher here than they are anywhere else in the world. It's prohibitive for a lot of people who just can't afford it, who have to make decisions they shouldn't have to. Like, well, I guess I'll get it this month, or maybe I'll go without it because I can't afford it because I have to pay rent, whatever it is. I am all for the end game on this, but I have serious doubts that he'll be able to execute this smoothly, if at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I will say, I acknowledge and agree with you that it is the whole pharmaceutical industry, big pharma. I'm pretty cynical when it comes to big pharma. I'm cynical even with our medical system and big pharma not only just having commercials, right, where it's like, ask your doctor about this medicine, but then financial incentives to be, you know, to have doctors prescribe certain medicines. I think we're an over-medicated country. I am very cynical towards big pharma. At the same time, I have had members in my close family circle die because they could not afford a certain new medicine that that person needed. The health insurance company said, no, I think your regular medicine will do just fine. Even though the doctor said, no, you need this new medicine because your body is resisting the old medicine. So I've seen that firsthand. I've seen family members, extended family members with diabetes, with pediatric diabetes and type 1 diabetes that have had to, and crippling rheumatoid arthritis, right? Throughout your whole body, that have had to choose, well, I'm going to pick this medicine that's not working so well because I can't afford it. So I acknowledge all of that. And I am still concerned about process. I think when in our country, when it comes to the ends justifies the means, when you start breaking down the processes, which are intentionally cumbersome and hard, you open the door for further abuses down the road. In the same way that a national emergency, when a president declares a national emergency and makes an executive order that grants him special powers, I understand the need for that. But the more you abuse that, the more you can have a president like Donald Trump declaring everything a national emergency so he can kind of just rule the country by fiat. And so I am still concerned about process. Even if I really agree that something needs to change, I do not like extra constitutional processes.
Sure. And I could argue that this is an emergency. And if you're somebody who needs medicine, can't afford it in the moment, it's an emergency for you. And there are millions of people who are in that position right now. So whatever they have to do to get this done, get it done. It should have been done decades ago.
Quick question, though, then. If this is constitutional, we know that Joe Biden did extra constitutional things. Like Nancy Pelosi said, you can't just forgive student loans. And Joe Biden's like, well, I'm going to figure out a way to do it. And the Supreme Court shot him down. So then he tried to find other routes. If the Democratic Party has been the party of regulating pharmaceuticals and even price controls, how or why did a Democratic president not think of this earlier if it was this easy, so to speak? Why did Joe Biden not do this? Why did he say, okay, I'm setting the price controls?
Well, so then that would, I think the answer to that question is this probably won't do a damn thing because they probably know that.
Or it's not
that an executive.
I don't know.
I'm sure they had an idea the executive order wasn't going to work.
I think it's what Bernie Sanders had proposed. Like I said, I don't have the details right now of his command and control model, which he's talked about. You know, Bernie Sanders is a member of the Democratic Socialist Party. But why has that not been a bigger talking point? If this is constitutional, if it is effective, why just now are we hearing about it?
It's a great question. And my guess is because they know that it can't happen and that this executive order might just be eyewash. It sounds great. Yeah. If you bring prices down 30 to 80%, who's going to argue with that? People who need these medicines are not going to argue with that at all. They don't care about the process. They just need the medicine. So it sounds good, but my guess on this is that it just won't go anywhere in the end. And if that's the case, we have to figure out another way to do it. We got to figure out another way to make this less expensive for people who live here now. Amy Markscores, Chris Ranji. We are going to talk to Matt Pauley, host of Sports Open Line, after 10:30, because you know why? The Cardinals are back above 500. They've won 8 straight games. They are killing it right now.
Killing it.
It's Chris and Amy's show on KMOX.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there, and we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You know, Bill Belichick has a young girlfriend. You know about this?
Yeah, because it's gross.
Yeah, well, he's 73, and I think at this point she is 24. There's been a lot of, I don't care that much about the whole thing. I don't care that much about the relationship. It's just one of those things where you look at it and go, oh, that's weird. But the whole idea that she might be in control of his entire everything right now, almost like he's incapacitated and she's making all of his business decisions for him and she's inserting herself into his life in places where she shouldn't, like North Carolina, where he is the coach now. Like their football practices, which they have told her
allegedly
that she is no longer allowed. But then the university backtracked and said, that's not true. We never said that. So there's a whole weird thing going on with Bill Belichick. Pablo Torre has a podcast and it's called Pablo Torre's Finds Out. It's with Meadowlark Media. And he did a whole lot of digging going back to February. And it turns out if you remember the interview that she did or he did on CBS Sunday Morning, where the interviewer asked him a question about how they met, and she said, we're not talking about that. She was off to the side. She wasn't part of the interview, but she said, we're not talking about that, which is a really strange response. When you're dating somebody.
And considering everybody thought they already knew.
Yeah, that they met on the plane. Well, according to Pablo Torre, the reason he thinks they are so against talking about it is because she may not have been 22 years old when they met, as has been reported. But it turns out she may have been 19 when they met back in February of 2021.
I thought they met when she was 20. It was reported 22.
It's 19.
I had heard 20 because it's a 50-year age gap.
Yeah, he is 73.
Yeah.
Now, and she is 23 now.
So I thought too, perhaps it was how they met. Maybe they didn't meet on the plane because remember, her dad is a lawn care worker and her mom is the manager of a sex toy shop.
Oh, nice.
And when she was 19 or 20, she meets Bill Belichick. Within 18 months, this 19/20-year-old got $8 million, bought $8 million worth of real estate in Cape Cod and in Massachusetts and outside of Boston.
Sex toys are expensive.
Sex toys must be more expensive than I thought. And her mom doesn't even own it. She's the manager.
Oh, maybe she gets sex toy bonuses.
Okay. Anyway, so she bought $8 million and you talked about her running the estate. She's the official. Her title is now the president or the CEO or whatever of Bill Belichick Enterprises.
I guess that is my main issue with the whole thing. Like, I don't care whatever the relationship, whatever. But there's always something, it seems like he's being taken advantage of. And I don't know how that's possible for somebody who is arguably the greatest football coach in history. He's only 73. It's not like we're talking about somebody who's 90 and is going through dementia. When you hear him speak, he doesn't sound like he doesn't have control of his faculties. He sounds like he's in control. He's always sounded uninterested when he does interviews. That's mm-hmm. been the case forever mm-hmm. because he is. He doesn't like talking if he doesn't have to. So to me, the whole thing that is bothersome is that it feels like this person has put herself into his life and is like taking complete control of it. His finances, his business, everything, inserting herself into a commercial that he was shooting, a Super Bowl commercial.
Pablo Torre also said his family. Bill Belichick's family issued a statement saying that they're highly concerned about the situation, highly concerned about the nature of their relationship. As you mentioned, Hard Knocks canceled their, the HBO canceled their Hard Knocks season.
Over a weekend. They went, it was on a Friday, and North Carolina football was about to be part of Hard Knocks, and it was done. It was basically done on that Friday. By Monday, the producer said, we're out, because she wanted control over it. She wanted to be named as a producer of it. She wanted all of this stuff. And that has hurt the North Carolina football program in a very big way. Yeah. So the presence of this person in Bill Belichick's life has not just caused problems potentially for him, but it has caused problems for an entire program. And there are all these kids on that team. And the program itself that could have benefited from being part of a very popular mm-hmm. TV show, could have helped them in recruiting. That has monetary implications down the road. And she screwed all of that just by being so hooks in on the whole project.
It's really crazy because I've talked to people at work, talked to people in my social circles, and they're all like, Amy, you're an idiot. Look at her. Basically, guys think with their brains second. That's the second most important organ for thinking. That's what's happening. But it feels like it's more than that. It feels like he's mentally unwell at this point.
It seems that way. Or she is extremely manipulative and very good at it. Like, maybe that's it.
I mean, it could be. I mean, that's what, like I said, talking to people, they're like, okay, if you're thinking not with your brain, that's what's going on. All she has to do is show up naked and she can do whatever she wants.
Well, let's within
she
reason.
She bought an $8 million house in Cape Cod.
She must look great.
She must look pretty good, I guess.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. When we come back, how about the Red Hot Red Birds? Man, they have won 8 straight games back above 500. Matt Pauly, host of Sports Open Line on KMOX, joins us next, 104.1 FM.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
A swing and a miss, and that's a Redbird winner. The Cardinals have swept the Nationals, and they have won 8 consecutive games and find themselves a game behind the Cubs in the Central Division standings.
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great name.
Yo, Paulie!
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie! I was responsible!
Paulie, we're here because of you!
It is the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX. And on Mondays at 10:30, we talk to Matt Pauly. He is the host of Sports Open Line. Pre- and post-game coverage for the Cardinals and the Redbird Rush Hour, which happens at 5 o'clock every weekday. That as long as Cardinals baseball does not interfere with that show. And today, the pregame show is at 4:50. First pitch at 5:45. Cardinals take on the Phillies in Pennsylvania. Matt Pauly, how about this team having won 8 straight?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I think all year long they have been an entertaining team, showing off a fun style of baseball. Now the winning is going along with it. So it's fun. I hope Cardinals fans are enjoying this right now, because 3 games over 500, 8 game winning streak. They've swept a couple teams in a row. They went on the road and had a nice series. Now we get to see them against a legitimate World Series contender. There's a lot of good things happening right now.
I will say, just a casual fan observation, which is a testament to how spoiled we are, winning to me feels like Cardinals baseball. I'm like, now we're back to Cardinals baseball. Like, it just feels, it feels right to have a team that's winning and that's competitive. I still feel like feeling down on the Cardinals is an unusual feeling.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of looking around, I shouldn't do this, but I was kind of looking around Twitter last night, looking at some responses to, you know, tweets and things, and there's a contingent of people that kind of hate watch the team because they're unhappy with some things, and I was kind of looking for those people to see what they were saying about this, and I had a hard time finding them. And that's a good sign. That means that even people who maybe don't love John Mozeliak, maybe don't love Oliver Marmol, maybe don't love the ownership of this team, things that I disagree with, but even people who feel that way, it feels like they're starting to at least hop on a little bit here and enjoy what's going on.
Yeah, Ollie Marmol, by the way, will be on the Gas House Gang tomorrow at noon. He's with us every Tuesday at 12. And so we'll get his thoughts on what's happening here. And the team has, within this 8-game winning streak, I mean, they beat up on a couple of teams that aren't very good, like the Nationals. They're not very good. The Pirates aren't very good either. Does that matter?
Yeah, it does. You can only play the teams that are on the schedule. But I think if they would have won 8 in a row, and the 8 would have been against the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Braves, and, like, you know, you get what I'm saying. Yeah, it matters who you're playing, and they've got the Mets in there. The 8-game winning streak did start with a doubleheader sweep against the Mets, and the Mets are a really, really good team. So it's not all kind of PUD teams, but it matters. But it doesn't take away from the fact that they have won 8 in a row.
Well, also, they're winning games on the road, which is a big deal for
which they weren't
team,
doing
which
early
they weren't
in the
doing
year.
Before.
Yeah, I mean, to go and they've still got 6 more games on this road trip. They'll play 3 against the Phillies and then 3 against the Royals, and the Phillies are a really good team. The Royals have been playing pretty good baseball here recently. I think they've played better baseball than they actually are, but to go back to, like, the question that you just asked about who you're playing against, yeah, the Royals have gotten a lot of their recent wins against not-so-great teams, but they also can only play the teams that are on the schedule.
Well, over the last 3 weeks, are the Cardinals playing better baseball than they are, or are they closer to this than what was going on in the first few weeks?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. Something I've talked a lot about on Sports Open Line, because clearly this year, every team in baseball, this is true for, you've seen them play their best style of baseball and their worst style of baseball, and then a lot in between. And who this team actually is somewhere in the middle. It's not who they are at their best and who they are at their worst. I would contend that they are closer. Who they really are is closer to what we've seen when it's been really, really good as opposed to when it's been really, really bad. But I still think we're kind of figuring out who, like, what we've seen, this run of starting pitching here recently where, you know, the starting pitchers went 7-7 and 9 innings in 3 consecutive days. Like, things like that probably won't keep happening over the course of the season. So that's one of those things that says, okay, they're not quite as good as what they've been. But at the same time, what we saw earlier this year from the bullpen, which really hurt them and really limited their opportunity to win games, I don't think that's a good indicator of who they are.
Either. But what the starters have done has helped out the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Over and not just over the last several games, but that can have some effects over the next few weeks too, by pitching deep.
100% correct. And even yesterday's game, you know, everything matters. Like that's one of the things I love about baseball. Everything matters from one inning to the next, from one day to the next. And yesterday, the Cardinals are able to add on a couple, you know, runs in the 7th and 8th inning, and they started down the path of their high leverage guys when they went to, you know, Steven Matz, yes, but he was also, part of his job was also to just cover some innings and get it to the final 3 innings before you go to, you know, Maton and Leahy and Helsley. So they get to Maton, and then the Cardinals make it a 5-run game, and you're able to avoid Leahy and you're able to avoid Helsley. And now let's see if that, you know, pay some dividends today. So that's one of those situations where, and also, you know, the Cardinals in that first game of the series against the Nationals, they got to the Nationals bullpen early. Did that impact the way things went over the course of this series? Because, you know, some of those guys that they saw in yesterday's game, they saw earlier in the series. So it all connects to each other.
Well, we talked about how there's something fluky about winning streaks, obviously, with the Blues. There's a fluky aspect to it. However, it's not negligible. It's not insignificant to go on a win streak like this. So, yeah, the last 10 games, the Cardinals are playing better than anyone in Major League Baseball. But it is an indicator that certain trends are going to be moving in the right direction again. And these wins matter. I mean, put them in the bank because you're inevitably going to hit a rough patch again.
Yeah. Again, going back to my everything matters thing, like there's something that people get frustrated with me is when I talk about underlying numbers, when I talk about hard hit rate and launch angle and those sort of things. And the reason I talk about those things is because more often than not always, but more often than not, if those numbers are in a certain area, well, then that's going to result in the baseball card numbers being good. Average, home runs, RBIs, OPS, all those sort of things. So you look at one thing to kind of get an indication if something else is going to be good. Well, for a team to go on an 8-game winning streak, there's got to be something underlying that's going right for them to get all these wins. And I think this is one that's really easy, and it's about the eye test. And I'm not an eye test guy all the time, but just look, just watch this team and look how they're fun, they're energetic, they're doing things the right way, they're aggressive. You know, the fact that, you know, Victor Scott II and Mason Wynn and Lars Nootbaar and Brendan Donovan and these younger guys are able to kind of go out and play the game in their style. And they even, you know, one of the quotes that came out of the clubhouse after yesterday's game, I think it was Nolan Arenado who said it, is, you know, just talk about how every day it feels like they're going to the ballpark to win a game, not going to the ballpark to have something hopefully good happen to them. And it's really easy to say those things when you've won 8 in a row and you're 3 games above 500 and the vibes are good. Okay, that's fine. But I do think there is some truth to the amount of belief that exists in that clubhouse right now that this team can continue to play some pretty good baseball.
It's something I think we're going to discuss a little bit on Gas House Gang at 12 o'clock today, but I do want to highlight it with you and get your thoughts on it. I think we're also forgetting, maybe, not all of us, but I think when we're talking about the team, we're not paying enough attention to the fact the lineup is very, very inexperienced, that you've only got 2 players in the lineup who are out of options. And by options, for people who don't pay attention, that basically means if you have options, player options, that means that you were under team control for a while, which means you're still very early in your career. And they've only got two guys who are out of that in Arenado and Contreras. This lineup is very inexperienced otherwise compared to other teams in baseball.
Yeah, I don't always love when we talk about like Lars Nootbaar and Brendan Donovan being young, because to me those guys have hit the point of their careers where it's kind of prime of their careers. They're not kids anymore. They're not super young. But to your point, it's a lot of non-old guys. So there's two old guys, to your point. There's Arenado and there's Contreras. And everybody else is not old. Either they're really young or they're kind of in the prime of their career, early on in the prime of their career. And that is – and look, even like the new – I keep going back to Nootbaar and Donovan. Yeah, there are expectations for these guys. But what have they – what have either of those guys really, really accomplished in their careers? And that's more about Nootbaar than Donovan, because Nootbaar's missed a lot of games due to injury. Donovan's played in a lot of games. He had a 153-game season in 2024. But those players have never been key players on a winning team. Maybe Donovan a little bit in 2022, but he wasn't expected to do a whole lot. That was Pujols and Molina and those guys. So this is the first time for a lot of these guys to be the centerpiece of a team that could potentially win some ball games here.
All right, Matt, quick question on some Blues news. Jeremy Rutherford, who writes for The Athletic, covers the Blues for The Athletic, said that Jordan Kyrou could become a trade candidate this offseason. He's got a full no-trade clause that kicks in on July 1st, but he does have 6 years left on an eight-year, 8.125 AV contract. Do you think Jordan Kyrou could be on the trading block?
It's hard. Like I don't know where he's at with that. He would obviously have to go along with it. If I'm Doug Armstrong and I can trade Jordan Kyrou and I can still get an elite level player back, whether that's whatever you get back for the trade or because you're saving money and you're able to go get that somewhere else. Like if the one for one eventually becomes another elite level player walking in that door, I would be in favor of that. I like Jordan Kyrou. I don't dismiss his talent. He's one of the most talented players in the NHL. But I do think sometimes he becomes a passenger. We saw that in some really big moments in the playoffs, where it didn't look good. It didn't look like he was really contributing. Now that there are also some, I want to be fair on this. There were times where he was a big time contributor, and he had a really, really good season this year, and he seemingly found a new gear under Jim Montgomery. So I'm not trying to be dismissive of those things, but he scares me. He scares me because of his ability to sometimes just all of a sudden not be a factor or even be a negative factor. Is that fair, Amy? Is that a fair assessment?
I think that is very fair, and I get it. I know even too some fans might still have a sour taste in their mouth because of the comments after Coach Craig Berube was let go. At the same time, it is not that easy to replace a perennial 35-goal scorer.
Right.
That's hard to do. But I think what you said was, pretty spot on.
Okay.
Matt, why do you hate soccer so much?
I don't hate soccer. It's not my favorite sport in the world.
I saw your tweet mocking the beautiful game. Yeah.
Well, he didn't mock the beautiful game. It was specific.
No, I didn't mock. I said that City's like boring and uninteresting. Like, I have never watched more soccer in my life than I watch now. And I watched these City games, and I watched on Wednesday in the Open Cup when they ended up winning, but it was not overly interesting, and then they just didn't look good against San Diego. And then I've got the MLS season pass package, and I'll randomly flip on another game, and I'll go, huh, this is kind of cool. Look, they're running around and doing things that look cool. And then I turn on City, and they don't do that. I'm not smart enough to like break this whole thing down. I just know the product that's on the field for City is not as entertaining as other teams in MLS. That's fair?
Yeah, it's totally fair. Here's what I'll say. The experience of going... I went to the game on Saturday. Great,
the experience is amazing.
It's great.
It's amazing.
It's great to go. The crowd is trying. I think the crowd is doing what it can do. And Carolyn Kendall Betts, before the season started, said we have to make the playoffs this year. And this is not... She said it.
She didn't say we have to. She said we will.
Well, no, she said in a podcast, it was, I think her exact quote was, we have to make the playoffs. I mean, I can look it up, but I'm pretty sure she said we have to make the playoffs.
That sounded like a question. We have to make the playoffs? Question mark?
So I think, I mean, she
maybe
said
she didn't
it.
Say it that way. You're right.
Yeah, we have to make the playoffs hands down is what she said. So, okay. I mean, that's coming straight from the owner. And, you know, they are not playing anything like that right now. They don't look good.
No, they don't. And I think they're 6 points out of a playoff spot. That's not really a big deal, but they got a bunch of teams that they got to jump over. And they just got to play better. Even that game on Wednesday, and people that it was an Open Cup game, so it doesn't count for like the MLS standings, but they were playing a lesser opponent. They were playing a USL Pro team, and they still had a lot of their main guys in there. A lot of MLS teams in the Open Cup do not play their main guys. And then it was tied at halftime, and eventually they won 2-0, and they brought in even more guys to make sure they got the win. But it's very startling what we're seeing right now, and you've passed the one-third mark of the season. You got to start seeing some real improvement sooner than later if they want to find a way to move up into the standings and move into the playoff spot.
Well, I expect the Cardinals to continue to improve and to win their ninth in a row tonight. Pre-game show with Matt Pauly at 4:50. First pitch, 5:45. Goodbye, Matt.
Goodbye.
Yo, Pauly, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
That's right. Cardinals baseball tonight. They start a series in Philadelphia. That is a very difficult team, but maybe the birds will keep their win streak going. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
You know all those convenience fees and service fees
Super
when you're buying tickets?
Not convenient.
So, you
There's
know what?
Nothing
That's
convenient
a
about a convenience
point.
Fee.
It's the most inconvenient thing, and it really jacks up prices sometimes by like 80 or 100%. So you know that former President Joe Biden had... issued, was it executive order or legislation? No, I think it was executive order to do away with junk fees. That goes into effect today. It goes into effect today. The FTC, that rule on misrepresenting fees and bait and switch pricing, takes effect for businesses selling live event tickets and short-term lodging, aka concert tickets and like Airbnb. I recently reserved 2 Airbnbs for later this month. And Airbnb was already doing the transparent pricing before today. It was super helpful because a lot of times you would see the price per night and the total price for your trip on Airbnb and go, oh, wow, like, well, let's say $800. That's pretty good. Okay. And you click to pay and it's $1,250. Remember when I went on my ski trip this past March, while I used an Airbnb, and that's what was happening. I would see a good price, and then the cleaning fees and the convenience fees and the service fees would pile on, and suddenly my good price that I could afford would turn into an unaffordable stay. And so now, whether you're buying concert tickets or short-term lodging, you don't have to worry about junk fees. I love that.
So I love it, too, and this also... applies to the resort fees that hotels like to charge you when it's not a resort. That a lot of times I'll be looking at a hotel and you'll think, oh, well, this is, you know, $180 a night and that's more expensive than $150. But you click on the $150 and somehow that ends up being more.
Yes.
Because that hotel has a resort fee, even though it's not a resort.
Right.
It's a hotel in the middle of a city. It's completely ridiculous. And so I love the idea of the rule. I think, first of all, resort fees should not be a thing at all. That should just be out the damn window. But
just build it into the price.
But build it into the price so that we can. And that's the point, is that it curbs competition. However, the issue with this is because there have been cuts to the Federal Trade Commission because of DOGE and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. So that could cause problems in enforcing these rules. But DOGE came in and took a sledgehammer to it all. So now the protections we're supposed to get are a bit in jeopardy. So great work, everyone. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Chris Saliza, political commentator, joins us next on KMOX.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.